everyone. Welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm here today with my guest, Lexi, the high-end call girl. Lexi.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for being here again.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we last talked to you in August 2019. It was episode 66 called High-End Call Girl Lexi. We spoke about, you know, your job and your experiences, and I just thought we can get a brief check-in on your background, but I also wanted to do this episode to check in with you mid-coronavirus.
Yes, things are happening.
to see how things have maybe changed or what's been going on. So let's just do like a little bit of a brief background just to get everyone back on track if they missed the first episode. And again, if you did, it's episode 66 if you want to pause this one and listen to that one or go after. But basically, why don't you just tell us where you live, how long you've been doing it, and kind of just like what your life is like, and you can just kind of take that into your own direction.
Okay. So live in New York City, been doing this a few years. God, I don't even know how long it's been, like 4 now. A lot's happened since August. Things were going really well. Things have been going well for a while. Obviously, things are not going well now. But yeah, hi, I'm call girl in New York. Make lots of money, have lots of fun. It's really great. It's a really great life.
How much do you make per night? Is it by hour? Or is it by the evening?
I charge hourly, so I've raised my rates since the last time we spoke.
Hell yeah.
So my 1 hour rate is $1,500 for myself. So like when I worked with agents, it was $1,500, but you only kept $1,000. But now I won't do a job for less than $1,500 for myself.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Your monthly numbers go up when you raise your rates. And for an overnight, I now charge $7,000, which is good. And it kind of just differentiates their, like, dinner date. I offer kind of, like, a meet and greet, a dinner date, or an overnight, pretty much. And then in-date extensions cost $1,000 an hour. That's basically how it works.
Do you often, like, go out to dinner with clients on overnights, or do they sometimes, like, do they usually just want to stay in a hotel? It depends. Do they like to kind of show you off?
Yeah, it depends. Everybody's different. Usually it's dinner, a comedy show, a Broadway show, out dancing. Maybe they want to go to a club, you know. It depends. Everyone's different. Some people are not so social, so you kind of have to just, like, you have to know your client, cater to, like, what you know they'll enjoy, and kind of plan an evening for them, which is nice. I basically just pick the restaurants I like and do what I like to do.
Yeah, that's fun. It's like, yeah, we can go to Nobu.
Oh, God, I wouldn't even eat at Nobu anymore. I've surpassed.
Really? Wait, you said you surpassed it?
Yeah, I want to, like, if someone was like, let's go to a nice dinner, I would not go to Nobu.
Where would you say you want to go? Like, Jean George?
No, I would probably go to, like, 11 Madison or Shuko, Masa, Nakazawa. These are all, like, Michelin star omakase sushi places.
Yum.
Yeah.
Damn. I'm still at the Nobu level. On birthdays and special occasions.
Nobu's good. Nobu's still good. But you know what? The Nobu in LA is so much better.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess sushi is better in LA.
I eat sugarfish all the time. I think sugarfish is better than Nobu.
Really? I don't think sugarfish is that good.
Yeah, but if a client's taking me out, like, I want a 3-hour dinner. Like, I want a slow course by course, really slow dinner
to take up time.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that makes sense. Have you gotten any extravagant gifts lately? Or some shopping? Before Corona.
Before Corona. Yeah, I got a white Birkin for my birthday.
Oh my God.
I got...
How much is a Birkin?
When you buy them in the store, it depends where you get them to. Because my guy gets them in Paris and London. So, like, the price changes.
Like, the tax. You don't have to pay the tax.
I think the big white Birkin was, like, $13,000.
Oh, my God.
Which is not that bad. Because if you try to buy one online secondhand, they're, like, $20,000, $25,000.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, that was fun. I got a couple Cartier bracelets, but I sold them.
Like the gold one with the screwdriver thing?
Yeah, I just find them so tacky.
Oh,
now.
Love bracelets. That's what they're called.
The love bracelets, yeah.
Yeah, those were like popular when I was...
It's like 16. Are you a hooker? Like, let me see your wrist. Oh, yeah, you are.
Like, yeah, like if...
How many love bracelets do you have?
I feel that's the same way about Louboutins as well, obviously.
Yeah, you know what? Louboutins have been getting a really bad rap in the sex world, sex work industry. People are just like...
It's so ghetto.
...over Louboutins. Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't wear Louboutins. I have one pair of Louboutins that I shoot in that, like, I wouldn't even shoot it anymore because now they just have such bad... Such bad juju.
Yeah, it just has, it's interesting how that stuff just becomes tacky. I feel that way about like Louis Vuitton as well, obviously.
Some of it. I like Louis Vuitton though. I feel like. Yeah, but I also like, my style is a little bit tacky in like my own way. I like things that are a little bit, not gaudy, but just like, I love pink. I love like silver metallic. So.
But I think.
But it's like my own quirky style. It's not like.
I think there's something hot though about like a little bit of a tacky designer like call girl. Like there's something.
No, there is. I think so too.
And so do the guys. They're like, oh, yeah. It's almost like it's part of the fantasy. I think.
No, it is, and there are guys who like literally want that, and then there's guys that are like mortified by that. So it's like. It's really important for you to, like, in your introduction to me, to specify, like, what vibe you would like me to come in. If it's casual or if you want, like, straight up, like, heads turning.
Yeah. And what were some of the head turning requests you've gotten?
Oh, God. I've had all kinds of weird stuff. And I don't really do them anymore. I feel like. Within reason, I can accommodate them, but sometimes I'll literally just, I'm like, I'm going to wear what I'm going to wear, and you're going to like it, so, like, too bad. I've had a guy, like, request, like, this crazy, like, see-through dress with this, like, black lingerie to wear, like, on the flight, like, to fly to him, and, like, it would, like, you wouldn't know that he was on the flight, and he would, like, check if you were wearing the outfit. But he, like, you never met him before, so he wouldn't tell you. But then girls started figuring it out. And, like, he's known in the industry, but it's, like, he would request you to wear this crazy outfit on the flight. And obviously you wouldn't wear it on the flight because why? That's, like, ghetto. But he'd be, like, on the flight with you. And he would, like, see that you wouldn't wear it and, like, would come up with some excuse to cancel.
Did he happen to be into S&M?
Well, I never ended up. Seeing him because I was like absolutely fucking not.
Yeah. Do you what are some of the weird requests that you've gotten? Like,
I mean, any standard. You know, you've seen movies. Like any standard like thing that like gross clients want. Like, yeah, they ask for that stuff. It depends if you want to do it or not.
What about peeing or something?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Wow.
That's actually pretty easy. Though.
That sounds kind of fun, to be honest. I've been trying to pee on my husband for a while now.
Oh my God, fun! peeing is like, if you're drunk enough and it's like, if they don't, because it's like, a client who like wants you to pee on him, like, wants to be like, embarrassed. Like, he doesn't actually want, like, sex or to fuck. He wants, like, you know, you to humiliate him. So it's, like, it's almost easier than, like, you know, 2 hours of, like, fucking.
Yeah, that makes sense. Have you ever been in, like, a financial dom position?
No.
Doesn't that seem awesome?
What?
That seems so awesome.
My dog is squeaking at his fucking toy. Stop it. No, it's a thing. Like, I have a couple financial dominatrix friends, and it's, like, it's pretty amazing, their life. Like, they're basically celibate, and they just, like, boss men around on the internet, and are like, you pay me because you love it, and that's it. So send me more money. Like, literally works like that.
I love that.
But it's, like, you have to be careful because clients, like, your escort clients, like, hate financial dominatrix girls. So you can't really cross because someone will find out, and then it'll be a whole thing.
Mm. So you said after we did our episode that what ended up happening to you in your personal family life?
I know. I was trying to remember. So, because we did the last podcast in August. Yeah, so my family ended up finding out that I was an escort, and that was really intense. That was like a 5-6 month battle I had with them, which is crazy because it's like, you know, but it's like your daughter, you live in New York City, you are always on vacation, you have a very expensive apartment, you have very nice things, you've, you know, been independent for a long time. It's like, come on, put, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. But I think it's when it's in front of you, and it's a lot harder to admit to yourself. So they had a really hard time accepting that for a while.
How did they find out?
I actually still don't know because they won't tell me.
Wow.
But I'm pretty sure someone, like, I mean, I think someone sent them stuff, but I'm not sure because they've told other people other things how they found it. So we got into such a big fight to the point where it was like, we were so far past how they found out. It was like, they knew, and it was either they were going to, you know, continue to love me and be my parents, or they weren't. And, like, they needed to make the decision themselves. So I kind of gave them that time, and they ended up coming around, and now everything's great, and we have a great relationship, and it's honestly so much better than it was, because now I don't have to lie.
That's actually really, yeah, that's really nice that you guys could take that space, and, like, that you, like, held your own in that, and that they came around.
I think if it was a situation where, like, I wasn't successful, I was struggling, and I wasn't happy, like, it would have been a different situation, but I was, like, this is the level of success that I'm at. What were you doing at my age? Like, you know, get the fuck over it and support me, or have zero relationship with me, because I have no time for any of this, you know, anxiety or negative energy around me. And then I think after that, she knew I was serious. So she just decided to get over it.
I love that.
I know, me too.
That's nice. So what is the most amount that you've ever gotten for a job?
We went over this in the last episode, I think.
Really? Just a recap?
Yeah. I honestly can't remember. Like, okay. I mean, I've had so many big jobs that it's hard to say, but I did a big job overseas for, like, a long period of time. And that paid really, really, really well.
Like a couple, like $30,000 or more?
No, like six figures.
Six figures? Wow. Mm-hmm. So I know that you have money in the stock market. And,
God.
And, you know, with everything that's going on with coronavirus and the stock market, what happened with you?
So I haven't checked the I have not logged on to my account in probably about 6 days, and I'm not going to log into my account and to like in the first in no. It's really bad. I've lost about $80,000. That was the last time I checked too. I know that today crashed.
Yeah. Harder. Are you going to take some money out?
No, no. For me, the stock market is long-term. These are long-term holds. I don't need to sell them. You know, I don't have kids. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have, you know, anything. I don't need to sell this money to pay for something else. You know what I mean? Like, it can sit there for another 3 years, and it's going to be fine. It just sucks when you're making no money because you're locked in your apartment.
Yeah. And you're – so, yeah, what's going on in terms of business? Have you been communicating with any of your regulars or
– I have. Everyone's still talking. You know, everyone's dealing with the same situation, right? No one person is exempt from the world we're living in. So it happened really fast. January was insanely good. February was still good. And then March, it was like the end of the tail end of February, like the last like 3 days. And February is a short month too, so you had like less time to make money. But I had a friend visiting, and I didn't really care that I wasn't working because I had a friend in town. But then I started to realize, like, oh, like, it's been 4 days. My emails are dead. You know, I should probably start sending out some messages and, like, seeing what's going on. And then it was just, like, crickets. Like, there was just nothing coming in. Well, it started with all these cancellations. I had, like, all these things canceled within the matter of, like, a couple days because people's business trips are canceled because they're not going anywhere because of coronavirus. So then it just was like, oh, fuck. Okay, so I'm obviously not making any money this month. Like, I better, you know, stop spending. And then now it's like, oh, fuck. I'm probably not going to be working for the next 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
If things keep going this way.
Yeah, so when you're texting with people, are they saying that they do some guys want to leave their apartments and come see you, or are they just keeping their distance?
No. No. Nobody wants to do anything.
And
which is honestly, well, no, that's not true. people want to see me. I am not sure yet. I want to wait and kind of see like how this progresses, and it's especially when they have kids and stuff, like, I just feel like it's not safe. Like, New York we're not in it yet. It's just begun. Shit hasn't hit the fan yet, so I don't know.
And
it's really scary.
What about in terms, like, do you have any clients who, like, help you with your bills and stuff? Are they still doing that?
Yeah. So, I'm fine. Hold on. My maid just texted me because she's coming. Hi, my, okay, yes. Sorry. Yeah, I have a client who, pays, basically, our relationship is, I help you when you need it, and, like, that's kind of, you know, my credit card, my rent. That's basically all I ask for because I don't like asking for money. Honestly, I think it just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Especially when like I'm not struggling and I'm not suffering. It's like it'll be great to have my rent covered. It'll be great to have my Amex bill paid. Like that'll be great, and then I'm not going to, you know, because the thing is our clients lost money, too. Our clients lost millions of dollars in these stock market crashes, like, you know.
Wow.
I don't make money when they're not making money.
Yeah.
So you have to think more than just yourself in this. It's like, oh, my God, why isn't he sending me more money? It's like, well, he's stressed out, too. Like, calm down. But yeah, so it'll be fine. I'm not stressed yet. The biggest bummer is that it just sets me off of my financial goals a couple months, you know? I have certain like levels that I want to be at.
Yeah.
By a certain time. And it's just going to take longer.
Do you sit down and like work on financial goals like every couple months, or how does that work?
I mean, I work on my financial goals every single day with what I'm buying, with what I'm spending. Since the last time we talked, I've really cracked down. I have not been shopping. I haven't been buying anything. I've been investing all my money. I've been tracking every single dollar I spend a month, on an app. And it's just like, I've been really trying to see, cause it's like, it's easy to spend, you know, all this money when you're making it. And then it's like, oh wow, I made this much. And then it's like, wait, fuck, like where'd it go?
Where is it?
IKEA?
What app do you use to track your money?
It's called Mint.
I've signed up for that before, but then I never really did it. Do you recommend it?
Yeah, you have to stick to it. It's for you, it'd be so easy because it just comes off your credit card, like off your card.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember. I had signed up
for me, it's hard because I have to manually enter in every cash transaction I have, which is like, you know, could be 7 in a day.
Yeah, because you're paying with cash.
Yeah, paying with cash. Yeah.
Okay, let's get to some of the Q&A questions from Instagram. Yeah. The first one: have you ever fallen in love or had a crush on a client? How do you navigate those feelings?
Okay, so I actually have a crush on a client right now, and it's been ongoing for a couple months, and it's hard to navigate because you obviously want them to keep booking you and paying you, but you start to want something a little bit more, and it's like, that's not what it is. So you really have to remember that your feelings don't pay. You got to stay out of your feelings. But having feelings for clients makes it more enjoyable because you actually enjoy yourself. So it's hard. Yeah, I wish this client loved me. He's young. He's like 29. He just got out of a 7-year relationship though, so I know he's not looking for a girlfriend, but I'm like, I want to wife him, or I want him to wife me.
Does he know how you feel?
No, God, no.
Okay.
No, he thinks I'm like the fun, crazy, like fun party girl, like coke off tits, like. he has no idea that I'm in love.
Oh, I love that. No. So just try to keep your feelings out of it and just hope for the best. How do you keep it fun for you if you're not attracted to a client?
Alcohol. And music. That is literally how I make it fun. I put on the music that I like that makes me have fun, and I make drink what I like and dance around and just get myself in the mood. It's honestly the only trick that I really have. But it's like I don't have clients I don't like. All my clients I love. Like, I'm at the point where it's like, I don't see anybody I don't want to see. I don't see shitty clients. I don't see people who I dread being around. Like, I don't have to do that anymore. You know, when I first started, of course I had to. But now it's like, I'm lucky to where most of my clients are amazing.
I like that you said you put on the music that you like. You make the alcohol you like. Like, when did you...
Yeah.
Were you always that way, or did you kind of get to that place in terms of like, I'm going to make sure that if I'm having a good time, then I'm going to have a good time?
Well, I think it's when I'm having a good time, they're having a good time, right? Because it's genuine. So if I'm actually like, you can tell the difference between someone who doesn't want to be there and someone who's like actually enjoying themselves. So I know, like, I have friends that like have certain playlists that like you know, that has, like, old rock and that, like, they know that, like, their older clients will like. And it's like, yeah, maybe that works. And then they, you know, and they get really excited. But it's like, fuck that. I don't like that music. I don't want to listen to that. So I'm going to put on what I like and I'm going to have fun. And because I'm having fun, they're going to have fun.
That's actually really, really smart.
That's my strategy, but it's not everybody's strategy. So, but I also, my friends have different brands than me. My brand is fun, outgoing, like, let's have a good time, you know.
I like that, having your brand.
Yeah.
Tell us about an amazing trip or a fun experience you've had with a client.
God, I've had so many. I stopped traveling this year because I was so sick of leaving.
Oh, really?
But yeah, like, I haven't been that many places since we last talked.
But you were always traveling.
I was, like, when I was baby hoe, oh my God, I was going fucking everywhere. But now that I'm, you know, I want to settle down a little bit more. I have my dog, you know, it's hard to leave the dog for a month at a time. But yeah, I mean, I've been all around the world. I've done it all.
Did you have, like, a favorite trip or night or experience with someone before that was like, this is fucking incredible?
Yeah, there's been a lot. I mean, I went to London one time, like, someone put me up at the, like, this, just the nicest hotel for, like, 2 weeks. God, I don't even know how much it cost. Like, and I just stayed there with my girlfriends. And, like, I didn't even have to see them. And then, like, just stuff like that where it's, like, you don't even, they just make your life so easy for you. Mm. Like, do whatever you want. Have as much fun as you want. Charge whatever you want to the room. Go to the spa. Do whatever. I'm busy, but, like, I'll let you know if I can meet. And then it's, like, once in the 2 weeks, he's like, come to my room.
That's fun.
Yeah. Stuff like that. I mean, there's a billion stories.
What do you do to stand out from other girls? Like, if you feel like there's a client who makes a lot of money and, like, pays really well and tips really well and takes you shopping and, like, every girl kind of, like, wants him, or if you're in, like, yeah, a group environment and there's kind of, like, that competitiveness to get in with a good client, like, what do you do to make her?
It's a nightmare. Yeah, I know.
What do you do to make yourself stand out?
I just have a very outgoing personality in general, so I think... Sorry, no, I thought someone just knocked on my door. It's haunted, I swear to God. Okay, I have a very outgoing personality, right? So I'm usually the first one to approach a client. I'm usually the first one to order drinks. I'm usually the first one to kind of just, like, get the vibe going, at least in a group situation. But that's easy for me. In a group situation, that's easy. I'm not, like, that I can do. What's hard is when you see a client on your own, and you know he sees other girls, and you know he sees another girl more often than he sees you, and then that's when you start kind of getting your head, like, what am I doing differently? Like, what can I be doing that this girl does that he likes and books her more? Like, you know, and I've dealt with that a lot, and there's nothing you can really do. It's like, you are who you are. I've made my money by being very myself and not kind of turning into anybody else when I'm working. That's what I've found that's made me successful. So I don't know. It fucks with you though. When you run into that situation, it's hard to, like, cause it's, you're dealing with a lot of money, right? So you don't want to see another girl that you don't really like making all this money off of your mutual client. That doesn't feel nice. But at the end of the day, like, that's just the way it is.
This one might be a joke. I honestly can't tell, but it says, how can I keep a woman when I have a micro penis?
Oh my God. Be really good at eating pussy.
Be really good at eating pussy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Or have a lot of money. Actually, if you have a lot of money and you give her everything she wants, she will worship your micro penis.
Ooh, I love that.
So be successful.
What's, like, a typical date session for you?
A typical date would be usually meeting at the restaurant. If I've met the client before, sometimes I like to meet at the hotel first, and we can kind of do a little bit of play before we go to dinner. That way, after dinner, it doesn't feel so, like, rushed to get back to the hotel room.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and then because also I'm going to these, like, long dinners where, like, you're so full after, and sometimes the thought of intimacy is literally makes me want to die.
Yeah, right?
Just because I'm full.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, that's, like, every time I've ever gone on any date, I'm like, I ate too much. I can't fuck.
And then you're starting to get tired because, like, you ate so much. Yeah, there's a very, like, a healthy balance with dinner dates. Yeah, but usually it's, you know, at the restaurant, there's a lot of wine, there's a lot of laughing, and then hotel, usually. Standard date is, like, 4-hour dinner date.
Does anyone
call? Or I have a lot of 1-hours.
Oh, yeah, actually. Okay.
But it's New York, you know?
Yeah. Does anyone close to you know about your job? If so, are they inclusive and supportive?
Well, now that my family knows, everybody knows.
And your close friends?
Oh, everyone. Yeah. I honestly don't have one person in my life that doesn't know because, one, I don't lie. Two, I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of my job. And three, my friends to be working girls. Like, I think it's fun to have friends that you can bring to work and talk about work with, who know what you're going through, who know why you can't make it to brunch today because you were with your fucking emotionally draining client the night before. You know what I mean? Like, or like why you have to leave, you know, 45 minutes into dinner because your whale called you and you have to be at his place. Like, it's nice to have people around who kind of get it. So, yeah, the only issue is with people who don't know. It's like when I start dating somebody new, a civilian, I don't tell them.
Yeah.
But I don't date.
But you did at one point, right?
I was, yeah. It's honestly, though, it's just too much of a headache for me because I just don't have the time. I mean, actually, now that I'm quarantined, I have the time, but not the immune system.
What do you have a favorite artist? That's one of the Q&A questions.
An artist, like a musician? Or
I don't
like
know.
A
it's
painter?
A pretty broad question. Maybe what do you like to artist? Do when you're like unwinding or when you have a night off? Like, is there like a show or like a movie or music or like, is there anything?
Yeah,
self-care?
I think like my favorite thing to do to unwind would be to be on my couch or a girlfriend's couch drinking wine, chatting, giggling in pajamas with the dog. That's like my favorite thing to do ever.
Yeah.
That's how I relax, is with wine and a friend and the dog on the couch.
Have you and your friends been hanging out during the coronavirus, or you're just staying home kind of alone?
I haven't seen a friend since Tuesday last week, so like 7 days ago.
And how is it feeling?
Not great. It's not great. It's a bit like my maid's coming over at 6, and I'm literally just like, oh my god, I'm so excited to see you.
I know, you've never been happier to see her.
Well, I just moved into a new apartment, so she hasn't come here yet. But I'm excited because she's going to scrub everything and it's going to be nice and clean and corona free, hopefully, as long as she doesn't have it.
Why did you move?
My lease was up and I wanted a nicer apartment. I mean, my last apartment was really nice, but I wanted to move like into a better area, and I wanted a view. But now that, and obviously this apartment is more expensive, and I didn't know that we were going into a recession when I got this apartment, so.
Yeah.
It's okay, though.
How have you been spending your time for the past week since you've just been, like, hanging out alone?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of, like, stuff on my computer, and I've been trying to figure out how to arrange the new apartment, so I've been doing, like, a lot of interior shopping. I've been doing a lot of shopping, which is not good.
That's good. You're keeping places in business.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but I'm just putting it on my credit card, and I'll just, I'll have a client pay it next month.
Love it.
Yeah, I've been sleeping a lot. I've been cooking a lot. I've been watching a lot of Vanderpump Rules and Housewives.
Yes.
Which actually ended up giving me a migraine yesterday, so I haven't watched TV yet today.
You know what I watched the other night that was so good? Do you have Hulu? Uh-huh.
Do I have what?
Hulu.
Yeah.
We watched Making a Model with Yolanda Hadid. It's so good.
Oh, was
good.
It good?
It is. We were obsessed with it. Obsessed.
I love her.
Steven's like, we have to watch our girls, like, every night.
Oh, I love that. I love Steven. Okay, I'll watch it. Yeah, I have Hulu. I actually
it's
just got
so
Hulu
good.
Live.
And there's so much the drama. All the girls are, like, 13 to 16, and some of them are so bitchy, and the parents are there, too, and the moms are, like, horrible.
That's like Dance Mom.
It's really like it's insane. It's really good though, and some of the girls are so gorgeous. It's like what the fuck.
Sounds kind of scary. Okay. Getting into that.
I got a couple more left. Do you
hit me?
Do you enjoy the work you do, and what do you dislike about it?
I enjoy the work I do. I love getting to build these relationships that are kind of outside of the norm, that work really, really well because I feel taken care of and they feel taken care of each in different ways. It's really cool to see that dynamic kind of flourish and make amazing friendships with my clients. It's incredible. What I dislike is the stigma that comes with the sex work. And then I dislike kind of like the entitlement that some clients start to get when they feel like you really like them, which happens because they're like, they think, you know, this is what I dislike the most about my job is when a client says, you should be paying me.
Ew.
Anybody who says that, I will want to slap in the fucking face, and that's what I hate about sex work. That's the only thing.
That's like a fan. That's like a comedy, like coming to a comedy show and be like, let me give you an idea for a joke. It's like, no.
No, it's like, it's just like, you should be paying me. I feel my head back and I laugh. Oh, ha, 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 I should. You're so good, you fucking fat piece of shit. But no, I mean, obviously I'm very privileged in this job. There's a lot of negative things that happen with sex work that obviously I haven't touched on because I don't run into it very often, but I'm lucky to have, you know, to be at the high end of it.
That's interesting about the entitlement stuff though.
Yeah. Oh God. I mean, I just canceled and fired a client a couple weeks ago for just being so. I mean, like, it's like I took. It was like around Valentine's Day, and I took. I went to a store, tried on some lingerie, took a couple like hot photos, sent it to like five of my regulars. Four of them were like, "Oh my God, so hot! Are you around tonight? Let's meet tomorrow." The four of them wanted to see me. The fifth one, who I fired, replied and said, I prefer black.
What?
Yeah, and I literally just was like, I mean, and this was not, you know, the tip of the iceberg. There's been multiple situations where he's just been so entitled to, like, my time and my attention, blowing my phone up with messages, like, just that I can't. Yeah, no, he's fired.
I hate him.
Oh my God, I fucking hate. But then he'd like do something nice, and like I'd get like flowers or something, or like I'd get like a gift card in my email, and like he. But this, I was just, it was too much. It was stressing me out, and he wasn't paying me enough. He was only booking me like every once in a while, and then would want all this communication in between. And it's like, bro, no.
Yeah. What do you do? I'm sure there's a lot of guys who like want to maintain some, like a lot of like personal relationship, like in between all the stuff, and probably a lot of texting. How do you navigate through that?
So I will tell you right now how I navigate. I will read you what I said.
I love it.
So he was asking me for a reference. Basically, he wanted to see another girl. The girl contacted me asking if he was safe to see. And it was in the middle of my move. And he messaged me multiple times. Like, can you do me a big favor to respond to my reference request? I would really appreciate it. Thanks. And I was literally in the middle of this, like, massive move. And I was like, feel free to provide her a different reference. It's been one day. I'm extremely busy and stressed with my family in town. I don't appreciate your message, and I won't tolerate you crossing my boundaries. You've met plenty of other women. You can ask them. Don't contact me again for the next week. Bye. Like, don't cross my boundaries. These are my boundaries. I set them, and you're not going to cross them. Like, I don't care. I don't need your, like, $3,000 once a month that you book me. Like, no, fuck off. You book me once a week? Sure, I'll have more time for you, but no.
I get that. You're good at setting boundaries. I need to take a page from that.
Everybody needs to set boundaries in whatever job they work, and people will respect you more when you do. Seriously.
So, the last one that I got was marriage therapy stories. How some guys get to what's missing on the side to improve. So is there a common trait amongst men who are married that something that they maybe talk to you about, or like complain about their wives or their issues? Like, is there sort of,
I mean, it's very, very standard, you know, their wives don't sleep with them. That is, and will always be, the main reason of, you know, man in his 40s or 50s will see a sex worker is because he's not having sex. It's very, very, and I always tell my friends, I will tell you, like, don't ever stop fucking your husband, ever, ever, ever. I don't care if you're not in the mood. I don't care if you don't want to do it. I don't care if you just had a baby. I don't care. Fuck your husband, because I'm telling you, he will go fuck somebody else.
I'm literally about to fuck him right now. My pants are already
off. Oh my
God,
please. Love it. Like, but yeah, you know, it's like as you get older, you lose that relationship, and I get it. And it's like, you know, what can you do? That's the main thing. And then there's guys who are fucking assholes, and they're like, I love my wife, and me and my wife have a great sex life. We have sex all the time, but like, I still love to see escorts. And it's just like, those are the guys I'm just like, eh, whatever. Like, I'll take your money, but like, you're not a good person.
Yeah. What are some like tips on some fun things you could do to spice up your relationship? Any sort of like role play or sex stuff that you've done that is just like fun that you feel like you could pass along to a friend?
Role play's fun. I think like what as you, I mean, you guys are still so young, you don't need anything. But what my favorite thing is when a couple hires me and I get to see them together. That is like my ultimate favorite thing. I think it's the most incredible thing to do as a couple is to hire an escort together. I think it's so sexy, and it's very safe because, you know, you have the option of never seeing that person again. And it's a great way to like open up with your desires and what you want. That's really fun. Do you have any older, wealthy listeners who can afford it?
But have you ever seen them get into a fight, or have things ever gotten weird when you're with a couple?
Yes, but only with people who aren't like really coupled. Like, only in situ. Oh, well, actually, no, there was this one time. okay, it can get weird, but you have to know how to navigate it, which I do. So, and you have to know who is the one who wants more attention, because a lot of the times it's the wife who wants more attention, and you don't realize it because she's a little more shy. But a lot of the times, which is you wouldn't think, it's the woman who has like has a lesbian thing and she wants, and it's for her, but you just don't realize it until it's too late. Yeah, it can get crazy, but it's usually good.
And do you charge more for couples?
I do, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to add or?
For any other escorts that I'm sure are listening,
hey, bitch.
Hey, bitches. I would advise that it's going to be a really rough next couple months. I would try to not work as much as you can because, obviously I don't want anyone to catch this virus. I don't want anyone to spread this virus. I just got word that one of my working girlfriends in Toronto has it. So, you know, who knows when the last time she saw a client was. Even though you want to work and make the money in these next couple months, really try to resist and stay home. And if you have any clients who ever wanted to do like a sugar daddy type like arrangement where you just like couldn't be bothered with it, hit them up. Get anybody who you can get to send you anything. Ask for deposits for future dates. Ask for, you know, closed mouth, don't get fed. This is the time to ask people, you know, who you think might be there for you, because it's going to be, if you don't have, I mean, I know I'm probably going to blow through like $50,000 in savings, like in the next 4 months, just from not working. Like my rent's expensive, my lifestyle's expensive. It's just like, if you don't have the savings, like you need to start reaching out to people who can help you, because there will be no work for a long time.
I think that's a good point.
That's my advice to anybody listening who's a working girl.
Lexi, thank you so much for coming on. This was such a fun, informative episode. Yeah, your last episode was like one of my highest rated episodes. So
I mean, yeah, everybody wants to hear about this kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, so, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And thank you so much, Lexi. Hold on, I'm just going to stay on the phone for a second, okay?
Okay.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review The Chelsea Skimmer Show. Bye. Feel better. Stay inside.